It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know we're in extraordinary times right now, and I thought it was important to continue the show. I'm here. I have two unbelievable guests that are appearing telephonically. Obviously, with the pandemic, everybody's doing their best to be as normal as possible in these extraordinary times. But once again, I wanted to, first of all, before we talk to Dr. Greg Kaiser and Dr. John Molinari, who are appearing telephonically, I wanted just to take a few moments and just really thank the first responders, the nurses, the doctors, the hospitals, all their families who are really putting it on the line for us to help us during this pandemic, this unprecedented times in our history. And I think it's so important to pull together and to be there for each other, you know, emotionally and really, you know, lift each other up. And I wanted to do the show also because I think the show does lift up the community. We talk about great things happening in the community. And if we ever needed to pull together and help each other out, I think this is the time. There's no question about it. Dr. Greg Kaiser and Dr. John Molinari, great local dentists, guys that have been giving back and helping others in need. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine, Todd. Thank you. This is Greg.
Good morning. Good morning, Todd. This is John. How are you? Nice to be here.
Yeah, well, thanks again, guys. I know we wanted to be together, but we're obviously practicing social distancing, which, you know, I never really thought about that term until really recently, and I know the governor has issued certain orders, and we're all doing our best to abide by it, and certainly President Trump and everyone's trying to do their best together to really get us through this these times that are feel like the twilight zone. So gentlemen, you know, on a personal note, Dr. Greg, how are you and your family, your practice holding up during these times?
Everybody is doing well, thank you. My children, and actually my son is in Canada at the present time. He's isolated up there with his lady, and he's a PhD student at University of Washington, Washington State University, I should say, in psychology. And my daughter is in Richmond. She, too, is in isolation. She got some great news this week. She's going to be going to obstetrics and gynecology at Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia. So we had some good news despite the, you know, the crisis that we're dealing with right now. And as far as my practice is concerned, as an oral and maxillofacial surgeon, I do treat a lot of emergencies from referring dentists. So in spite of the restrictions on dentists as far as treating emergencies, we're there to kind of be in the trenches, if you will. So I am still seeing patients through the pandemic on an urgent basis.
Well, thank you, Dr. Greg, and obviously I'm very happy for you and your family. Exciting news with your daughter. And Dr. John, and how you and your family holding up? I realize you guys are great local dentists, but your dads and your husbands and your really vitally important part of the members of the community, how are you holding up?
We're actually holding up quite well. I have, thankfully for me, we had to let our staff, I guess, not really go, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, they're not reporting into work because we're only seeing emergency patients as far as that goes. But my wife happens to be my chairside assistant, so when I do have to see an emergency, I'm still staffed. You know, she and I go down to see the patients together, which is good. I have three daughters. I have twins that are going to Pace University in New York City, and they're both freshmen over there. They're both doing very well. Kind of a new experience for them because they're doing the online coursework right now. And I have a younger daughter who is going to Memorial Middle School right here. And again, same thing for her. It's a little different, little challenging. I mean, they're on the computer every day, you know, doing their classwork and stuff like that. So it's different, but we're all holding up and we're hunkering down and, you know, trying to figure out the best way to get through all this. You know, it is unprecedented. It really is. But meanwhile, my wife is holding down the fort very well, you know, being both a mom and a homemaker and a dental assistant. So I give kudos to her for that. you know, as far as that goes. So everybody seems to be doing well, though.
Yeah, I mean, similarly with our family, my wife's holding it down with her two young boys. They're also doing the homeschooling, and, you know, the school systems are doing their best, and everybody is just trying to, you know, get through this, and hopefully, you know, as soon as possible, we really just look back and say this is an unbelievably challenging time. But as a country, because we're an amazing country, we can get through this, and we will. And, you know, it's really a time to put aside the partisan views of the reality that everybody thinks they're in, Republican, Democrat, Independent. We're all Americans. We will get through it. But I thought, you know, obviously, before we started talking about your guys' extraordinary work with healing the children and going globally to help the kids in need, I just, you know, figure everybody's talking about the pandemic and COVID-19 and what we're all doing to kind of cope with the situation. So, gentlemen, once again, thank you so much. Hopefully one day I'll meet you guys in person, and I'd like to shake your hands, but I realize right now we can't do that. So, you know, Dr. Greg, to kind of lift up the listeners that tune in every week to get some good news, some, you know, inspirational stories, and talk about people really that are great members of the community. So Dr. Greg, you know, I would be remiss in preparing. I know you served our great country in the Army Airborne, and thank you, sir, for your service to the greatest country in the world.
Thank you, Tom.
So, Dr. Greg, just a little bit more. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Philadelphia. I was born and raised there, educated at Temple University, both undergraduate as well as the dental school. And then following dental school, I went on to do my oral and maxillofacial surgery training at the State University of New York Hospital downstate, Brooklyn, and Kings County Hospital in Brooklyn. Following that, I migrated across the Hudson and ended up in Morristown, New Jersey, practicing for the better part of 28 years before a short hiatus leave from the area after selling my practice and then returning to the area.
Well, I'm glad you're here in the community. You're doing amazing work. So let's talk about this healing the children. I mean, that's why I wanted you gentlemen to come on. And my producer, Ellen, who's extraordinary, helped me get in the building today because obviously everybody's extremely cautious. Basically, I said, you guys are amazing, and you got to get Dr. John on and this guy, Dr. Greg. I mean, this guy's been on so many missions. So I always like to kind of explore the genesis. What made you decide to start to give back? So tell us a little bit about healing the children. I want to explore with both you and the good Dr. John about volunteerism and what made you decide just to be great people.
Yes, thank you. My interest initiated back in the early 90s. As an oral and maxillofacial surgeon, we are, you know, constantly approached by various organizations to give back. And that's something that I was brought up, in order to give back to the community, to give back to other people. My parents both kind of indoctrinated me that way. And shortly after beginning practice, I actually responded to an ad by Thousand Smiles Foundation, which was a Rotary organization out of Southern California. I went on a trip back in 1993 to Ensenada, Mexico, where I joined a cleft lip and palate team. In addition to doing, lay people know us as the surgeons that are, you know, taking out the children's wisdom teeth, placing their dental implants, taking care of trauma of the facial region, dealing with pathology in the maxillofacial region. Little know that we are actually surgeons of the mouth, face, and jaws. So we do cover the specialty of cleft lip and palate repair. And I joined a team led by Dr. Jeffrey Moses out of Encinitas, California, to Ensenada, where we treated children from Mexico, all over Mexico. They traveled for days, hours, if not days, to see us, and I kind of got quote unquote infected at that point. I met a colleague by the name of Dr. David Hoffman. David was a team leader for Healing the Children Northeast Chapter, which is based out of Milford, Connecticut. And we New Milford, I should say. And he invited me over the course of the next several months to accompany him on a cleft trip to Vélez, Colombia. And I managed to arrange my schedule, my work schedule, my family schedule. I had a small children at home at that time, a little bit of a challenge to leave the country. But it was something I felt I needed to give back. And it was my very first trip that kind of, first trip to Colombia that led me on to want to continue this forever, as long as the good Lord will allow me to. And the, I'll say the turning moment for me was after treating a, 3-week-old, baby, make that 3-month-old baby, with a cleft lip, and I returned the infant to her mother. And the mother cried hysterically and was talking in Spanish very feverishly, and I thought she was upset. And she, in Spanish, she was saying to me, "Thank you for giving me a perfect baby back." That is the moment I remember 20-some years later as far as being the reason I still do this and will continue to do this.
Well, God bless you. I mean, what's more beautiful than that, than to have a mother, you know, feel that joy and obviously change the child's life with the cleft palate, and fixing that is certainly a beautiful thing to be able to do. In terms of that commitment, Dr. Greg, that goes back. You've been doing this like 27 years, but
yeah.
When you first went on the trip, what was that like, that if I may, to leave our country and go to Colombia? You must have had probably not sure what to expect, but what was that like?
Well, Colombia is probably one of the most beautiful countries I've ever traveled to. I had the opportunity of taking 5 teams subsequent to that mission back to Colombia. As you know, many years ago, back in the 90s, it was not the most, not the safest place to travel to as a person from North America, particularly the United States. So there was a safety concern also. We always had military escorts. So it was a little intimidating at first, but people are people. I found that once we got operating, got triaging the children, healing the children, as the name suggests, we do treat children 18 and under, but as I'm sure we'll get to later with Dr. John as well, we do treat adults who are in urgent need of our services. But going to Colombia for the first time was a life changer, literally. It made me realize that this is something that the world needs more of, not just in the way of services, but in the passion that each of the individuals on the teams display in giving back and giving services that we're used to being compensated for gratis, so that we can have a sense of feeling of reward that we get from the professions that we've chosen. So, in a nutshell, it's a service that we've provided for me for 27 years, that even when I can't hold a scalpel blade anymore, I hope one day to lead trips with my daughter and at least administrate or serve in some purpose to continue this for my professional career.
Well, you're truly a blessing, Dr. Greg. I mean, to talk about the things you've already done over 27 years, we're going to certainly talk about that. It's just a beautiful thing, and it's special to have someone like you on the show to lift up the community and really talk about wonderful people like yourself who give back freely, and you've been doing it over 27 years. Dr. John, in terms of your involvement, when did you first think about getting involved with healing the children? A little bit about your background as well, Dr. John. Can you tell us about that?
Okay. Well, I'm a local boy. I was born and raised in Lake Hiawatha. Graduated Parsippany High School, did my undergrad degree at Long Island University, Southampton College, and I did my dental school at Temple University. And interestingly enough, although Greg and I don't remember the actual first time we met, I was a freshman at Temple University when Greg was a senior. And he came in as the, president of the student body to give all us lowly little freshmen our pep talk and our spiel about the school. And some years later, after I graduated and he finished his residency and he opened up here in Morristown, I came home to open up my practice. And, you know, he's, as a local old surgeon, you know, called on me one day and said, I'd like to take you out for lunch. And I'm sitting there looking at him. I'm like, did you go to Temple University? He's like, yeah, I did. I said, yeah, I graduated there. And he said, I said, when did you graduate? He said, 86. I said, okay, I was a freshman in 85. So you were the president of the student body back then. And since then, he and I have developed a pretty much a lifelong friendship, a very close bond. He and I are very close and very, you know, professionally close, socially close friends, you know, as far as that goes. Greg is the one who, I actually started my volunteering, when I came home from dental school in 1989. My father was president of the PAL in Parsippany for about 18 years. And, when I came home from school in 89, my dad said to me, what are you going to do now? And I said, I guess I'm going to open up my practice. And he looked at me and he said, you know, John, when you were a kid, the PAL was there for you, so I think you need to start volunteering your time to the board over there and do some stuff. And I got involved in the PAL, and then I was involved with the local Rotary. I was in the Whippany Rotary for a number of years, sat in all the chairs from president all the way on down through sergeant at arms and whatnot. Then sometime around maybe 2005, 2006, Greg started really talking up the Healing the Children. And in November 2007, I got to go on my first trip with him, which was to Madagascar. At that time, my twins were only, my girls were, Nicole and Andrea were only about 6 years old. And my daughter Tess was under two. She wouldn't turn two until December of that year. So it was a little challenging to go half a world away. But it was an amazing thing. I mean, you come back feeling so empowered because you know that you're making an impact on these children's lives. And some adults, I mean, believe me, we had some of the sites that we went to, some of the people that were helping us, in country, would ask us, you know, we have, you know, some workers that work for us who were in terrible need of some dental treatment. Could you please help them? And we would not turn away anyone, as far as that goes. A year and a half later, I got to go to Guatemala. And then that was an amazing trip. But between Madagascar and Guatemala, I was able to be a part of Healing the Children, and we treated a little over 1,500 children in those two trips. We treated a little over 700 children in Madagascar in 5 days, and in Guatemala in about 6.5 days, we treated a little over 800 kids. And it's an amazing thing to do.
Yeah, well,
and sometimes.
Right. No, that's certainly incredible, the commitment you've had, Dr. John, in terms of that. I wanted, just for the listeners, as you're hearing two great local dentists, oral surgeon and good Dr. John here, local guys. Maybe Dr. Greg, can you tell the folks if they want to reach out to the Healing the Children, either donate or maybe get involved with their skill set? How do they reach you?
Well, the Greg Kaiser Retirement Fund would be one way. Kidding. actually, the most efficient way is through the Healing the Children Northeast website, which is the capital letter of each word, htcne.org. Again, that's htcne.org. That will bring folks to our webpage for the Northeast chapter. Northeast chapter is the largest chapter of 15 in the continental United States. And we lead a number of missions in various disciplines around the world. With the pandemic now, a number have been put on a temporary hold, given the travel restrictions that have been that we're succumbing to. And but the best way for folks to, you know, to support the organization, we are self-funding as far as the individual trips and individual team members are concerned. We do raise funds. I will be raising funds on Facebook for my middle initials, J. Gregory J. Kaiser, is on Facebook, and I will be launching a fundraiser for some vital equipment this coming week in order to replace some broken units, because we use portable dental units in the dental missions. And these take a lot of wear and tear, not only in the daily use, but also sometimes the abuse that the units get in transporting them. These are 65-pound dental units, about the size of a large suitcase, that are transported to and from our various destinations, and they take a lot of wear and tear in the travel. We lost a circuit box on one, which we have to replace the entire unit because it was a less expensive unit, but it was out of Asia, and we had had difficulties getting parts for it. So we're looking at a company based here in the USA, out of California, to purchase a couple of new units. So on Facebook, I'm going to appeal to individuals for their generosity in order to help support us with this vital equipment that we use in the field.
Well, once again, I mean, for the listeners, now's the time to help everyone out, and your organization is so vitally important, helping kids really all over the world. What's more important than that? I realize we're all focused right now on the coronavirus, and God willing, that'll pass very shortly, but healing the children is so important. I understand, too, Dr. Gray, you're involved or been involved with the Rotary Club as well?
I've actually presented before the Rotary Club, and we've also done appeals to the Rotary. John was our connection there as far as the kind of our liaison. We've presented the Rotary Club of Whippany, and now the Hanover Rotary Club have both been very generous in supporting us, not only individually, but also, more importantly, with the vital equipment. They purchased one of these dental units some 15 years ago or so, so that we could do the work that we do. Without these units, without working electricity in some of the destinations that we travel to, we'd be powerless in the field. It was proven a couple of years ago. We had some issues with the units, and it really limited our abilities to provide the volume of services that we typically do.
Well, you know, I was honored. I had another incredible Rotarian on, Steve Alford, right here in Roxbury. He's a five-time president, just a wonderful guy. You guys ever meet Steve Alford from Roxbury?
I believe I have met him, yes. I haven't been involved in our Rotary Club in a number of years, but I do believe that I have met him at different functions with the Rotary. As I said, I've sat through all the chairs, was president, and whatnot. So, yeah, I do remember his name, and I am certain that I have met him, although it would have been a number of years ago.
Yeah, just a wonderful guy, and you know, the Rotary Club, and there's probably a fair amount of listeners either involved in the Rotary or certainly have friends or family that have been involved. I would certainly urge everyone to think about joining the local Rotary Club, but guys like Dr. John and Steve Alford and all the wonderful folks out there who truly embody the idea, the spirit of helping the community, lifting up others in need. I want to go back to something that was kind of interesting, is how you guys kind of crossed paths way back in the day at Temple University. And who would have thought, right, all these years later, you guys have that bond. It's pretty incredible. It sounds like about 35 years or so, give or take, and what a great friendship you have over the years. I want to get your thoughts on that, Dr. Gregg. So here you are, you're the president of the student body. You're talking to folks, and now you're saying, wait a minute, look at that. You impacted your life and the good Dr. John. Do you ever think about that, how that kind of worked out?
I do. As a matter of fact, one of my colleagues who has since retired, Dr. Ron Silver from Bloomfield, New Jersey, he was a general dentist that joined me some years ago in Peru. And we were taking care of the children of the Amazon, the Peruvian Amazon. And he was senior to me in years, and when he was getting close to retirement, he said to me, and probably one of the few people that call me Gregory, he said, Gregory, he says, I just want you to know, in all my years of practice, that this is something that has changed my entire life and the way I look at things. And it was profound, because I still to this day use that quote. And I admire Ron to no end, and he was very instrumental in recruiting other members because of his passion. You know, Ron ended up not being able to return on additional trips for personal reasons, but he was always a stalwart supporter. And he, you know, his quote to me, I think, between the woman who mentioned about getting a perfect baby back and Ron's telling me the difference I made and the trip made in his life, I'm forever grateful. And this is something that I feel, and I use the word infect a lot, and that's probably inappropriate this time of the season that in the climate we're dealing with. But I love the fact that when I infect folks with the passion that I have, and I've seen that over the years. I've noticed a person like John Molinaire, who he got the bug. Once he went on a mission trip, he wanted to go on additional trips. There are some folks who just want to travel the world and kind of be a provider who gets a chance to see parts of the world that otherwise wouldn't be seen. But then there are the individuals who return time and time again, members of my team that have been with me for the better part of 20 years or more. And these are the individuals who I've, quote-unquote, infected. And it's not so much me or my leadership that has done that. It's the experience and what's in the heart of the individuals that they've experienced in the field when we're working. It's such a team building experience. It's such an individually and spiritually uplifting experience. So for me, and for people like Dr. Molinaire, I am forever grateful that I have these folks in my life who have made my job so much easier when we get going. It's like a well-oiled machine. You know, this year on our trip, we expect to have 24 individuals traveling. Everybody knows their job, and everybody does it with passion and with compassion. And it's very rewarding for me.
So, Dr. Greg, in these days, we don't say the word infect, obviously. We'll say inspire many times.
I used infect when it wasn't such a... What is such a bad word?
Yeah, well, we all get nervous. We have enough to worry about. You know, I have a great friend of mine, Dr. Glenn Goldstein. He was on the show. I was just so honored to not only have him as a friend, but have him come on. He's been doing remote area medical, going down to the volunteer state in Tennessee. Brings his handsome sons down there, too, now, and just giving back and helping others with his great talents in the dental field. And it's his passion, and he talks about the missions and the people he's met and those just really incredible bonds to be with people that really are good people. And I always tell folks, wonderful thing about the show is I get to meet, I haven't met you in person, but, you know, bring you on and find out folks like you that are really great people. And if you associate yourself with great people, it's going to lift you up. And it kind of speaks to the volumes of kind of the kind of person you want to be. And I can hear it in both of your voices, your passion, your inspiration, help others in need. And what's more important than that is to lift a hand up and help others. Gentlemen, we're going to take a very short break. We're going to be back in 30 seconds and continue this very, very inspirational dialogue this morning. We'll be right back.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
So, Dr. Greg and Dr. John, thank you again. So, you know, gentlemen, I wanted to further explore this because one of the reasons why I love doing this show is not only to hopefully be introduced to wonderful people, which you gentlemen are, but also to inspire others to do, you know, get involved, to find your passion, to find your reason why you exist. That epiphany, the aha moment, like, wow, I'm really enjoying this, and it's a labor of love. I wanted to go back to some of the things that you gentlemen had said, and I always want to know what lit the fire inside, though. You know, because, like, for example, with you, Dr. Greg, you know, you've been involved with healing the children for 27 years, gone on over 22 missions, and Dr. John's been giving back for so many years. But was there some moment in your life where you gentlemen could reflect on and say, you know, that's the kind of person I want to be? And maybe, Dr. Greg, you could take that question on first, because for the listeners, and I love to inspire people the best I can, was there a moment, though, that just maybe in your youth or as you became an adult, that you wanted to just find that part of your life to feel fulfilled from a just a humanitarian standpoint?
I think for me, Todd, it was more of an evolution. The experiences that I've had with healing the children have really allowed me to grow as a person, spiritually, emotionally, professionally. It's allowed me to meet a lot of fellow professionals who have the same kind of drive to help others. I think as healthcare professionals, as dental professionals, we instinctively have a need to help others. I see it in my own daughter and my own son in their respective professions where, you know, I feel that maybe I've inspired them and their mother has inspired them in a number of ways in order to make them the people they are. My father was disabled at a very young age, and he inspired me through my entire life. My mother did because she was always there for my father and for us. And my dad, despite his adversities with his paralysis, still managed to inspire me and to give me the opportunities so that I could give back. A very religious man, and I feel I follow him in that way, in that capacity, that giving back was just part of my growing up. It was just part of the way I was raised. When I say evolution, I refer to the fact that as I've come to lead these mission trips and I've gotten more involved with Healing the Children Northeast, I'm on their board of directors. I'm also the chairman of their medical advisory committee where we review and approve medical missions abroad that are being conducted. Healing the Children actually does more than just medical missions abroad. They also have a domestic kids program where we help children stateside, because a lot of people say, well, there are so many here in need, and that is true. We do have an arm of our organization that takes care of domestic kids. Then we have an Operation Inbound, which is for children who are from various locations, a lot of which are developing countries that don't have the capacity to provide the more advanced care. And people, and the other way people can help out, Todd, is to donate airline miles to Healing the Children Northeast, to host families, because some of these children need to be brought to the U.S. to receive the care that they otherwise can't receive. That's actually how Healing the Children was born back in 1974, was a woman's observation of a child that needed care in a foreign country. She was in Central America, in Guatemala, noticed a child, came across a child who was in need of a heart operation, life-saving heart operation. She would have perished had she not been brought to the States and had this life-saving heart operation. That's how Healing the Children started. And there are plenty of people like John and I who have been inspired by these types of stories, and just feel the need to return the favor, if you will.
Well, once again, I mean, that's what it's all about, is giving back and helping others. And I'm sure your parents were so proud of your involvement and commitment and being really a good person. How about you, Dr. John? Was there something, I mean, you talked about your dad, you know, talking about the PAL and giving back. Is that what really started it? Or did you see at an earlier age, you know, how your parents were living their lives?
Well, I mean, that was a good portion of it. I mean, I definitely learned from my parents. Both of my parents were involved in the PAL. My dad was president for 18 years. He ran the basketball program for 7 years prior to that. So for 25 years, he was involved in it. And it was all volunteer. It was, you know, it was all when they were building the PAL building over in Parsippany on Smith Road. My dad was there. He was a pressman for the Star Ledger. He was working nights and all day long. He'd be over there, you know, working in the mud in the trenches with the guys that were building the building because that was all donated and stuff. So that's things like that. Seeing him when I was a young child growing up and seeing my mother, who was involved on the board of directors and always involved with us with school and always involved with us when we were kids growing up. I don't think I ever went had a sporting event when I was young that either one or both of my parents, you know, unless they absolutely couldn't make it, they were there to support me. I you know, it was just, it was amazing that way. But you asked about an aha moment, and I really have one, which gave me probably my first paradigm shift in the reason why I was becoming a dentist. I mean, obviously, if you get into the healthcare profession, you're getting in there because you know you can help other people. But you don't really realize that until you actually have a moment. And my moment came when I was in dental school. At Temple University, we had what was called total patient care. So what that means is, you, as a patient, you come into the school, you want to be treated at the dental school, they assign you to a dental student. And that dental student takes care of all of your needs, unless it's stuff that you would normally send out to a specialist, and then they would go to the graduate departments for that. But it took forever to get a patient through the system. Now, my first patient that I had assigned to me was an elderly gentleman. He was in his 80s at the time, and he only had five teeth left in his head. He had just five on the bottom and the front. He had one cuspid and four lower little incisors, and I had to take him into I had to take him initially into the first clinic. Then we took him into the perio clinic and cleaned his teeth, then into the operative clinic and filled the teeth and fixed them up, and then finally into the prosthetics department where we made him, I made him a partial lower denture and a full upper denture. Okay? Took me 9 months to get him through the system. And the night I inserted the denture, now, I mean, I got into dentistry for my own reasons, but my whole shift occurred the night I inserted the denture, the full upper and the partial lower on this guy. And I called him up, and I'll just say Mr. B, so I'm not even sure. I mean, this was 30 years ago, so he's probably, because he was in his 80s then, he's probably passed on at this point. But I called him up, and I said, Mr. B, this is Dr. Molinaire, and I'm just calling up to see how you're making out with your new dentures. And he said to me, Doc, I ate a steak for the first time in 2 years tonight, and I can't tell you how good it tasted. And for me, at that particular moment, it was like, wow, I actually improved the quality of this gentleman's life. I gave him something he hadn't had in 2 years. And, I mean, it wasn't just, oh, yeah, okay, great, I'm going to be a doctor. No, it's I'm there and I'm helping and I'm improving the quality of his life. And through that, and that was probably the first big aha moment I had in dentistry. And in all likelihood, that's what carried me along to wanting to get involved with healing the children, because it's the same thing. I mean, you go to an impoverished country. When we were in Madagascar, the children there used to chew on raw sugar cane, and it literally rotted the teeth out of their heads. I mean, they're cutting sugar cane out in the field and chewing on it, chewing on stalks. And, you know, you see these children, and their teeth are bombed out, and these kids can't eat. Some of them may be malnourished as a result of that. But, you know, you go there, you help them. It's unnerving. The first time I went, it was unnerving because here in our country, you know, if a child comes in and they got a big cavity, normally you fix it. But there you have to eradicate the disease. So most of it at that point in time, 12 or 13 years ago, it was, you know, you had to eradicate the disease, like I said. So you did a lot of extractions, and you're looking at these 6, 7, 8-year-olds, and you're pulling their teeth out. And it's unnerving to do that to a child at that age. But you also know that you're getting rid of the disease that's in their mouth and the abscesses and the infections, and that in a few days' time, when they heal up, they'll be able to eat again. They'll be able to smile again. They'll be able to not have pain constantly in their mouth. And when you're able to do that, and when you come home, that's when I said it, you feel so empowered, because you come back and you're like, wow, I just helped these children. I mean, hopefully they don't end up with all that disease again in their mouth, but at least at this point, for a period of time, they're going to be healthier than they were before my visit there. But that moment with that patient at dental school, that was definitely an aha moment for me. And I've told that story over the past 30 years over and over again, because it made such an impact on me, to be able to improve the quality of his life in that way.
Well, that's a wonderful thing to feel inspired. And obviously for many years, you've carried that through your distinguished career and also given back really throughout the world. I was so honored in the past also to have Dr. Mary Lo Fermento on, who was the co-founder of Hands Up for Haiti after the devastating earthquake over 10 years ago, and the amazing thing she's done in her commitment and passion to help others, local distinguished doctor as well, and giving back, you know, to Haiti, and just really an uplifting show as well. You know, Dr. Greg, in preparation, he had advised me, you know, you've been involved for so many years and have been to Mexico, Colombia, Brazil, Peru, Belize, Guatemala, Madagascar, Cape Verde, Cambodia, helped, you know, tens of thousands of people. And you go on these missions, and, you know, for the listeners, you're really leaving your family, your practice here local, and you're going to these countries. What's that like with the balance? Because, you know, you have your own practice and you're basically leaving for a while. What's that like?
That's an excellent question, and you're right, it's all about balance. And for me, my children and my ex-wife all were very supportive. I think having a supportive family unit was really the basis for me being able to do this, because I know some spouses may not be as understanding or perhaps as lenient, I don't know if that's the correct word, but in giving me the opportunity to ultimately lead these missions. Taking time away from my family ultimately became time with my family. My daughter, Victoria, has been able to accompany me on 5 different mission trips, and has actually partly inspired her to pursue a profession in medicine. My son also managed to travel with me on a couple of trips. My whole family traveled with me to the Peruvian Amazon back in 2012. So I included them, and they were involved. My daughter's Girl Scout Gold Award was due to a project that she assembled, what we called Get Bags of Love, for the children in Peru this one particular year, and in Guatemala a subsequent year, where she provided dental hygiene instructions with the assistance of the professionals in Spanish, and also was able to give out toothbrushes, toothpaste, a little Beanie Baby, and some other little toy items to the children as part of her project with the Girl Scouts. So I was able, as my children matured, was able to incorporate healing the children and my giving back into their lifestyle. It became a part of what they looked forward to. They attended fundraisers for Healing the Children Northeast. They've participated in stopping supplies and collecting different items for us that we needed that were vital for the mission. So yes, it was balanced, but early on it was maybe a little bit more selfish on my part, in that this is something I wanted to pursue and had to leave my family at home and leave my busy practice at home. But fortunately, our mission trips are usually no more than about 10 days. So I take into consideration that team members have to leave their families and their way of life, and being self-funding, they're taking vacation time very often. John and April are both likely accompanying me to Ecuador this fall. And, you know, it's time away from their family. It's time, well spent in my estimation. But it's also a financial challenge, because we do have to fund our own way. So it's time with the office closed. It's time to actually, give perhaps some, well-needed vacation time and actually be doing work. I've oftentimes returned from trips and everybody said, "How was your vacation?"
oh, I guess you're ready to get back to work. And when in fact, I could use another vacation after retiring. So, balance, yes. I think I've achieved that balance. And now that with my children grown, I can do it more on my pace.
Well, Dr. Gregg, for the listeners, again, if they wanted to donate or get involved in helping your incredible, you know, passion to help these kids all over the world, and also join obviously, the good Dr. John, how would they reach you?
The best way to reach us at Healing the Children Northeast, which is htcne.org, and I'll repeat it. It's htcne.org. That's for healingthechildrennortheast.org. And there is a donation tab there that folks consider. This our organization does lead more than just cleft lip and palate and dental missions. Just about every surgical specialty is represented with about 15 to 20 trips abroad with our medical trips abroad program.
Yeah, I wanted to also, I would be remiss to, you know, Dr. Gregg and Dr. John. I love the fact you inspire your kids. The kids are watching you and they're learning by example of what it's like to be an extraordinary person, to live an extraordinary life. So many people have extraordinary, unbelievable gifts financially. It could be in the medical field, whatever field it is, but they don't give back. They just keep it to themselves. And you guys are out there. You're inspiring. You inspire me, hopefully the listeners. And I just love the legacy, the tradition. You know, I got young kids at home. I do my best, God willing, hopefully inspire them to be good citizens and to understand you got to lend a hand up. You got to be there for the community. I know the community right now, not just here in Morris County and the community in New Jersey, but our entire country needs folks to pull together and use all their gifts to lift us all up, because we're in this together, especially when you're in this kind of medical crisis. But I love the fact you guys are doing the right thing and helping others. So one of the things I want to also focus on is advice for the listeners. If maybe you, Dr. John, could talk a little bit about advice for the listeners in terms of volunteerism. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I happen to be a huge proponent of volunteerism. And you don't have to be involved in on such a level where you're going to travel to a foreign country. I mean, if you have the ability and the wherewithal to do it, well, I think that's fantastic. Because we always, it's not just doctors when we go on these trips abroad. It's not, we take a team, and the team, when we went to Madagascar, when we went to Guatemala, we had 10 doctors. But we had, in Madagascar, we had 6 ancillary people that were like our assistants, and we had 10 docs, we had 2 hygienists, and we ended up with about 18 or 20 people. Maybe we had 8 ancillary people. So there's always people who can come and help us, either help us through interpretation, help us through organization. You don't have to be a medical professional to go on a trip like this. But on a local level, like you had mentioned earlier, Todd, about joining your local Rotary. Okay, you know, it's the Rotary Foundation and your local Rotaries are a phenomenal way to give back on a local level, a national level, international level, and you can get involved as much or as little as you want. So if, you know, I mean, whether it's the Rotary or it's the Kiwanis Club or it's any of these things, volunteer your time at the local PAL. They're always looking for people to help, you know, with the building and with, you know, being there to help organize the kids and things like that. Again, you don't have to be a sports person to be involved in the PAL, although the PAL is mostly a sports option for children, you know, to get them involved and to keep them with team sports and things like that. They have many different events that go on at the PAL and things like that. So, again, if you're going to volunteer, you know, it would behoove everyone with a little bit of time. Doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to make a full-time commitment to it, but you make, you know, a commitment of some time. It doesn't even have to be financially, although it may be financially just by giving up your time to volunteer your time. So you don't have to go out and say, well, look, I have to donate X amount of dollars, but maybe you donate X amount of time to that particular organization. And, you know, and like I said, like I happen to be very fond of the Rotary Club. Every Rotarian, and I am truly a Rotarian at heart, every Rotarian will tell you that Rotary Club is there, but when it gets in the way of your life and your family, then your family and your life come first, and then you can always come back to the Rotary again as time went on. I left the Rotary because I didn't have enough time for it. My children were growing up. They were going through middle school and high school, and it was more important for me to go to their events than it was for me to go to a Rotary event. So as I was losing time at the Rotary, and finally I decided it was time for me to step back from it. That doesn't mean that I won't go back to it someday. And in all likelihood I will, just because it is such a worthwhile organization. So as far as volunteering goes, yes, I believe that the best thing that you can do is just look for something that piques your interest. If you like to sit in front of the computer, look down, you know, try to look up, volunteer organizations. And if something looks like it piques your interest, look, you can even go, I mean, I know that like the Interfaith Food Pantry is always looking for volunteers, people to take their vehicle and drive to this location and pick up food and bring it back to them in Morris Plains, or drive to that location. The Interfaith Food Pantry has a little special place in my heart. Where we used to do things every year and send something out to my patient base. Now, over the past several years, I just take a monetary donation at the holiday time and make a donation to the Interfaith. I've gotten to know the people that are on the board of directors over there, and the amount of food that they give out annually. And you think of a food pantry as being something like, it's only the indigent, it's only the homeless that are going. It's not. It could be your next door neighbor who might have lost their job, who don't have the wherewithal to go to the grocery store, or maybe need to supplement their groceries and stuff for their families. So, you know, it's a very, again, I mean, you can go, I'm sure, the Interfaith or the Community Food Bank of New Jersey would love to have some volunteers to help them collect food and move food and do stuff for their people and for their clients that come in and need to get that. I mean, we always, you know, go to the local Colgate, Crest, and ask them to donate toothbrushes and toothpaste and whatnot, and I will drive that up to the Interfaith and bring it to them when we have the opportunity. So it is something that that is just, you know, I mean, you could start very small, and you don't have to make a commitment like Dr. Greg and myself have done with Healing the Children. I mean, that is a huge commitment. It's, don't get me wrong, this year, as I heard Greg mention earlier, my wife April, who is my chair side, is very excited, and I hope we do get to go on a mission to Ecuador, because she's very excited to go this year. She has seen the way I've come back from these trips, and she has been inspired to want to go and experience this.
No question about it, Dr. John. No question. I mean, it's wonderful that your commitment and some of the great ideas you came up with. In fact, we had the Interfaith Food Pantry on Carolyn Lake, Nathan Umbriak, and Margaret MacBohm, wonderful people, and extraordinary just to see their commitment to help others in Morris County, as affluent as it is. There's still folks that need food, and they do education, and they just do incredible stuff. And especially now with the pandemic, I want to make sure the seniors, you know, are sure they can get food. I mean, this is critically important. If I may, Dr. Greg, and this is one of the things that I touch upon, everybody has their own talents and gifts. You know, it's one of those things in life, as you get older, you start to kind of realize kind of where you fit in the universe. But listening to you and Dr. John and your military background, which I just touched on very briefly, just to say how honored I am to have you on, because I love the military. I love the commitment to serve and protect our incredibly strong country. Is your leadership qualities and how you were able, and you're able to use them not only in your dental practice, but Healing the Children. How does that feel to know that that God-given gift is being used?
I'll tell you, I mean, ever since I was a child, I kind of had a recessive or dominant gene in me to lead others. A lot of that probably had to do with just my genetic makeup, but I'm sure a lot of it was environmental as far as, you know, how I grew up and my parents' drive to
inspire me to become more of a leader and less of a follower. Dating back to high school, I was involved in student government and involved as president of the student council in dental school. I followed the same path. In ROTC, I was a cadet battalion leader. In the Healing the Children organization, as I mentioned, I'm involved with the board of directors as well as chairing a committee. When I was first in the area practicing, one of the ways I was able to develop relationships with a lot of my dental colleagues was to start a study group of dental professionals, dentists and dental specialists, and we had over 90 members at one point. So leadership is something that I embrace. I was fortunate enough to teach at a few hospitals over the course of almost 20 years. So it was something that it was just kind of part of my upbringing and just kind of part of my core personality. I enjoy it. I love when I go to a site and after that I've done a site visit to that particular region and to transform a church or a school or a maloka, which is similar to a gazebo, and turn it into a clinic. To me, that is just incredible experience and an incredible feeling that I have when I can bring to fruition a vision and lead a team into some of these developing areas and be able to provide safe, effective, and true caring services for these destitute individuals.
Well, that's, once again, that's a blessing that both of you gentlemen have been able to do. You have a strong bond for over three decades. You guys go on missions together. You, Dr. Greg and Dr. John, you're remarkable folks, and it's really a privilege to have you both appear today. I know there's a lot of things going on in your minds with the pandemic and your family and their safety and your friends and the community, but it means the world to me that you're willing to come on this morning, especially really what we're all going through together. And, you know, I just say God bless both of you for what you're doing. Don't stop. Keep on inspiring the folks to help each other out, not just locally, but where there's a need. Obviously, what's more important than taking care of the kids? It doesn't matter where they are in the world. It's just a beautiful thing that you guys have been doing. And please don't stop. Keep on inspiring. It's just really, really important in this world we live in together. I wanted to talk just a little bit about what's going on in the world for the last minute or two. I wanted to also just mention before I get to that, we're going to have Glenn Baker on. He's a wonderful guy as well, right here in Booton. He's been with the Booton Fire Department over 20 years, and he's a really interesting guy, and I think we're going to have a great show for next week. How we're going to do that logistically, that remains to be seen. But, you know, once again, gentlemen, thank you so much. I wanted to just say to the community and the listeners, I know these are dangerous and perilous times. I know the world has turned upside down, but we're going to get through this together. I don't think we should be in a panic mode. I think we have to be prudent and smart. The social distancing, you all have to do it. I do it. We all do it. It's not fun. You feel a little lonely and isolated. You know, get on the phone, talk to someone. Doesn't mean you can't communicate. But we all have to use our common sense because right now we are in a very, very important time in our history that we have to listen to what the government is saying and be careful and be smart. And most importantly, we have to be there for the first responder community. They're on the front lines. They're putting their life in jeopardy. We got to make sure we support them any way we can. If it means donating Crocs, if it means getting masks, if it means trying to figure out a way to get ventilators, we're in this together. And there's some incredibly brilliant people out there. And we have to think about what we can do to support those communities. Because when we're home hunkering down and we're in that safe zone, remember, there's people out there putting it on the line. Once again, the first responders, the nurses, the doctors, the hospital staff, and their families. And everybody's really concerned. But we live in the greatest country in the world, and we will get through this stronger than ever. As we know what we went through in the horrors of 9/11, we actually came together. And I do believe in my heart we're going to get through this together. So God bless everyone. Take care of each other. And I look forward to speaking with you next week. God bless.